A good night's sleep is essential for a child's growth and development. Many studies have shown that poor sleep quality in children can be associated with emotional, behavioral, weight, and cognitive dysfunction, including attention, learning, and memory. Our topic today is pediatric sleep apnea, and my guest is Dr. Maninder Kalra. He's the Division Chief of Sleep Medicine at Dayton Children's Hospital. Dr. Kalra, what type of sleep disorders do you most often see in children?
Breathing problems during sleep, such as sleep apnea, are the common problems that we are seeing at our center. This is a prevalent condition affecting up to 5% of children, and higher prevalence in children with obesity, asthma, and allergies.
So if a child has a sleep disorder, who is the first person that would notice it? Is it a parent or the school or caregivers? Do they notice symptoms, or is the child themselves noticing that they're tired all the time or agitated or have learning difficulties?
So it could be a combination. Usually it is the parents noticing that the child is snoring, is a restless sleeper, is difficult to wake up, or is excessively sleepy during the day, and the teachers could add on to that complaint. Child themselves could report feeling short of breath at night, pauses in breathing that they wake up gasping for air. And taken together, all these symptoms suggest that there is a concern and it needs to be brought to their regular doctors, their primary care physician's attention. And then they would usually be referred to a sleep specialist.
We've heard about sleep apnea in adults, but not as much about pediatric sleep apnea. Tell us a little bit about it and who is most at risk.
So children do get affected with this problem. Up to 10% of children snore, which is the sound that occurs when there is a blockage to the flow of air during sleep. And just like in adults, if this condition is affecting the quality of sleep or oxygen and carbon dioxide levels, it's labeled as sleep apnea. And it is more frequent in overweight and obese children, in children with large tonsils, in children with smaller lower jaw and a larger tongue.
How's it diagnosed? If it is determined that the child is suffering from some form of sleep disorder and they've gone to their pediatrician who has recommended them to a pediatric sleep specialist, then what's the next step?
So it starts with a detailed history, looking at symptoms that are characteristic of sleep apnea, examination looking for tonsil size, weight, facial structure, in presence of other medical conditions. And if indicated, a formal testing called a sleep study is ordered, which is an overnight recording of the child's sleep as well as breathing in the hospital facility.
Then what is a sleep study like? And if a referring pediatrician is discussing with the family, what do you want them to tell the family about if a child is anxious about a sleep study? What can reassure them?
It is just a non-invasive test which involves recording information from sensors placed on the child. It does not hurt, and parent is in the room with the child throughout the night, and it gives useful information about the quality of sleep as well as the presence and severity of any sleep disorder such as sleep apnea.
What would be your first line treatment for a child?
In children who are diagnosed with sleep apnea, removing the tonsils and adenoids is the first line of treatment and is successful in about 85% of the cases.
And if that is not successful, or if for some reason that's not what is indicated for you to do, then what's next? Do children use CPAP? Are there some other treatments you'd like to discuss?
Yeah, in children who have residual sleep apnea, even after surgery, or if they have risk factors for treatment failures with tonsil and adenoid surgery, such as severe obesity, then using a CPAP machine to sleep with at night, which blows air through the nose and or mouth and opens up the air passage, is an accepted second line of treatment. It's been shown to be efficacious as long as it is used regularly. And compliance with this therapy in centers which have outpatient follow-up is as high as 70%.
What about adherence to CPAP? Is there an issue with children using this and adhering to the prescription?
Just as in adults, the overall adherence is about 50%. But as I mentioned, with close outpatient follow-up of patients who are on CPAP, centers have reported a much higher compliance or adherence of up to 70%.
So what would you like pediatricians to know about referral for sleep disorders? When is it that you want them to consider referring to a sleep specialist?
So the recommendations are for pediatricians to screen for sleep problems in children, problems related to difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, getting a good quality sleep, and or daytime sleepiness, and referring if these problems are taking a toll on the child's quality of life during the day, or medical conditions such as attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, their control, or if it's resulting in problems with functioning at school or learning.
And what would you like them to know about your team at Dayton Children's Hospital?
At Dayton Children's Hospital, we are accredited by the American Academy of Sleep Medicine for our diagnostic testing as well as outpatient services. We have a team of board-certified sleep physician, behavioral psychologist, and nurse practitioners providing consultation for a full spectrum of sleep disorders, and we have 10 pediatric beds dedicated to inpatient testing for sleep disorders. And we also do outpatient monitoring in the patient's home with actigraphy device to record sleep duration and quality.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kalra, for joining us today and sharing your expertise on pediatric sleep apnea and sleep disorders and when to refer. For more information, please visit childrensdayton.org. That's childrensdayton.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.